at 2 p.m. There is a church council meeting right here. The volunteers for Food Pantry Monday are Kathleen and Ron McPhee and Peggy Bjerke. Tuesday at 10 a.m., we will be having Bible study here. Ash Wednesday service will be at noon at UCC, and I will be there from 2 to 6. So the church will be open if anyone would like to come in over to the UCC for prayer or imposition of ashes. And Thursday at 2 p.m., we have bell choir practice. Inside your bulletin, you will see a purple piece of paper that lists our Lenten worship schedule. You will see that we will be gathering together as three churches once again for Wednesday night soup suppers. It's easy to remember this year. It's every Wednesday night in March. 6:15 we'll gather for soup, and at 7 o'clock for worship in the style of the host church. So during our soup supper, we will also have conversation on an episode of The Chosen Season 2. We went through Season 1 last year. We'll go through Season 2. And for those of you who have difficulty accessing it or just want to watch it in a group, we will be having a couple of opportunities when you can gather as a group to watch the weekly episode of The Chosen. Here it will be at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, the time of our Bible study. And over at St. Luke's Episcopal, it will be at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. So make sure that you post this on your refrigerator or wherever else you look at things. And we will update you with other information as it becomes available. Do we have any other announcements? Today we have our bell choir playing. So please listen to them as they present Onward Christian Soldiers. Thank you so much, bell choir. And I also want to thank you in advance for joining me over at Amy Holt today to help bless the worship time with the residents and staff there. Please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, How Good Lord to Be Here, number 315. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O God, in the transfiguration of your Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the witness of Moses and Elijah, and in the voice from the bright cloud declaring Jesus your beloved Son, you have foreshadowed our adoption as your children. Make us heirs with Christ of your glory, and bring us to enjoy its fullness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading is from the 24th chapter of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua. Moses went up onto the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come again. For Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on a mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called out to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord. Please join me as we read Psalm 2 responsively. Why are the nations in an uproar? Why do the peoples mutter empty threats? Let us break their yoke, they say. Let us cast off their bonds from us. Then in wrath, God speaks to them, and in a rage, fills them with terror. Let me announce the decree of the Lord, who said to me, "You are my son. This day I've begotten you." You shall crush them with an iron rod and shatter them like a piece of pottery. Submit to the Lord with fear, and with trembling bow in worship. The second reading is from the first chapter of 2 Peter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just 6 days before the events of today's gospel lesson, Jesus had been telling his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer and die and be raised on the third day. And Peter's response was to take Jesus aside and rebuke him, saying, Lord, this must never happen to you. Jesus responded, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. And now, Jesus takes Peter and James and John up a high, unnamed mountain that some believe was Mount Tabor. There are three occasions in Matthew's gospel where Jesus takes only these three with him. The first is when he went to the home of Jairus and restored Jairus' daughter to life. The second is this account of the transfiguration. The third is the night before his crucifixion, when he asks these three to accompany him as he goes to a secluded spot to pray for strength as he faces his time of suffering. Why did these three constitute his inner circle? Some commentators believe it was because these were the most unpolished of the disciples, the ones most in need of instruction. Some say that it took special effort to prepare these three for the leadership roles that they would occupy in the fledgling church. Peter, the one that he called both rock and stumbling block, was the first to express faith in Jesus as Messiah and Son of God, but he was also the first to deny him. Yet on the day of Pentecost, Peter spoke out boldly, and the Holy Spirit worked in the hearts of the listeners so that 3,000 people put their faith in Jesus that day. James and John, he nicknamed the Sons of Thunder because of their boldness. But they were also the ones who, according to another gospel, asked to sit at Jesus' right and left when he came into his glory. James was the first of the disciples to die for his faith. John is said to be the last. Perhaps what is demonstrated is that God can use anyone to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, even those of us who need a little bit more polishing. When they got up the mountain, they saw Jesus transfigured, with his clothes becoming dazzling white and his face shining like the sun. He is the image of Moses, who had to veil his face after coming down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, because his face shone after having been in the presence of God. In Matthew's gospel, we see many parallels between Jesus and Moses, with Jesus being depicted as a new Moses, a better than Moses. But there is more. Moses and Elijah appear, and the disciples see Jesus speaking with these two Old Testament figures who represent the law and the prophets. James and John are apparently stunned into silence, and I think I would have been too. But Peter spoke up, saying what was probably the first thing that came into his mind, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And if you wish, I will make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let's stay here, Jesus. Let's stay on this mountaintop where we see you revealed as the Messiah that we always thought you would be, the one radiating the light of God, the one who is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Let's stay here and forget all this talk about suffering and death. I can't blame Peter for his wanting to stay in that moment. I might have wanted to go further, to erect a permanent memorial on that spot so that it could forever be identified as the ultimate epiphany, the ultimate revelation of who Jesus was. As Peter is speaking, a bright cloud envelops him, and they hear a voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Where have those words been spoken before? At Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, before he began his public ministry, where the heavens were opened and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and alighted on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The disciples, enveloped by this cloud, hearing this voice, fall to the ground in terror. And Jesus touches them, telling them not to be afraid. They look up and see no one except Jesus. No one but Jesus, who tells them not to speak of what they've seen until after his resurrection. Jesus is to heal and teach and preach a little while longer before that time comes. I wonder how hard it must have been for them not to speak of what they had seen. But if they had spoken of it before the resurrection, would anyone have understood? Did they really understand what they had seen? On that night when Jesus was arrested, when Peter denied even knowing him, did he remember Jesus telling him not to fear? On that day when Jesus was raised high on the cross, when darkness came over the whole land from noon until 3, when Jesus cried out to God and breathed his last, do the disciples remember seeing Jesus radiant with the glory of God? And when they heard the unbelievable news of the women who came running from the empty tomb in joy, did the vision that they had seen of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah make sense? Could they recall the history of God's deliverance of God's people from slavery in Egypt, the giving of the law at Sinai, the sending of prophets to call an unfaithful people back into obedience and reconciliation with God? Could they understand then that Jesus indeed was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets? This is the last Sunday before we enter the season of Lent, the time when we prepare our hearts and minds for the great feast of Easter. We will be observing Jesus as he journeys toward Jerusalem and the cross, and we will be asked over and over to make the decision to follow him, knowing that we will be observing his face transformed in agony, knowing that the road to Jerusalem leads to death, but also knowing that death is not the end of the story. Instead, the glory of God will be revealed more fully at the resurrection, when Jesus will shine for all the world to see. During Lent, we will have the opportunity to journey together on Wednesday evenings, beginning this week with Ash Wednesday and ending the Wednesday before Palm Sunday. Starting next week, we will be joining with Union Congregational and St. Luke's Episcopal for Soup, Supper, and Worship. This will be a time for fellowship, and we encourage you to come as you're able and to invite your friends, family members, and neighbors to attend. Each week, we will focus on one episode from Season 2 of The Chosen and use it for some directed conversation while we eat. Dallas Jenkins stated that his goal in creating this series is to help people know Jesus better and to love Scripture more. To do so, he and other script writers have taken the gospel accounts and, using quite a bit of artistic license, have fleshed out various characters and added backstories to help viewers see the people of the Bible as real people who dealt with real issues, just like we do. When you view the episodes, don't be surprised if the characters are not the way you would have pictured them. I would never have pictured Matthew the tax collector as being on the autism spectrum, but it works. Compare what you view with Scripture, realizing that the series is simply the idea of one group of people about what it would have been like to have lived during those times and been called into a radical relationship with the preacher, teacher, and healer known as Jesus of Nazareth. On Transfiguration Sunday, we see Jesus revealed as God's beloved Son, confirmed by the splendor of his white robes and his face as bright as the sun. We may wish to stay in this glorious moment as Peter did, to stay on this mountaintop far away from thoughts of suffering and death. But like Jesus and those three disciples, we need to come down from the mountain into the reality of a broken world. During this Lenten season, as we journey with Jesus toward Jerusalem and the cross, let us recall the image of the Transfiguration, where God confirms that the one who is to suffer and die, the one whose call the disciples follow, is indeed the one we should be following, the Messiah, the promised and anointed one. Let us hear his voice telling us, get up and do not be afraid. Let us allow Jesus to call us to him as he polishes out rough edges so that we may better be of service. Amen. Let us join together in the hymn of the day, Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks. Let us join together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Embolden your church as it witnesses to the majesty and mercy of your Son. Equip lay preachers, deacons, and pastors. Move us to share our stories of your faithfulness and forgiveness. May our lives proclaim your greatness. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Dwell with your whole creation, from the tallest mountain peak to the deepest valley. Bless the work of conservation organizations and protect vital habitats. Support the work of disaster relief agencies around the world. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Guide and give wisdom to all in authority, our mayor, our local leaders, our governor, our state legislators, our president, and national legislators. Bring freedom and justice to all nations. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Give shelter to those lacking safe homes. Spur communities to work for fair housing for all. Protect our neighbors whose dwellings do not keep out dangerous cold or heat. Accompany with your touch those who are homebound, sick, or isolated, especially those on our prayer chain, or those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Make us eager to receive your word and scripture. Help us recognize Jesus' voice in the needs of our neighbors. Make us confident to follow the way of the cross. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Receive our thanksgiving for the holy ones who have guided us in faithfulness and gathered even the unlikely as your people. With our forebears in faith and all who have hoped in you, teach us to wait with courage until the promised day dawns. Merciful God, receive our prayer. We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for sending your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory, Create in Me a Clean Heart.
give thanks to